Welcome to the Weekly Wind Down. I am Jackie D, the literary lesbian.
I'm Stacy, the new age old school mom.
I'm Stacy, the political princess.
I'm Jean, the feisty feminist.
And I'm Erin, the geeky gal pal.
You guys are so lucky that you have us all on tonight.
Whoop, whoop.
So lucky.
Buckle up.
Yeah, Erin's drinking vodka, so we got to get through this fast before she gets hammered. All right.
Hey, y'all.
I'm drinking 2017 Matchlock. It's a Cab Sauvignon from Paso. Let me see if it has anything fun on the back. I'm in a very dark room because I'm in my kid's room. Two winemakers, two vineyards. Neutral oak, French oak, full body, black cherry and spice. I like it. Direct to the point. You know, it's actually really good. I've enjoyed it from sip number one.
Wow.
Yeah. Dang. Real fancy.
real fancy. This was in that wink order that I got that wonderful wine in that was anything but wonderful. I feel like they give you kind of like one medium, one garbage, and then like one good one. Yeah. This is the good one.
Nice. Mm. That's nice of them. I'm drinking Mark West Pinot Noir. It says, Mark West Winery specializes in Pinot Noir. Sourced primarily from California's coastal Appalachians, these vineyards provide grapes of intense fruit, aromatics, and flavors. The grapes were fermented in small tanks with daily punch downs to extract...
I would love to
extract color and flavors. I've never heard that. Pressed lightly, the wine was then aged in French oak for 6 months before bottling. Red and black cherry flavors around with a note of spice from oak aging. I don't know about all of that, but it's okay.
I have questions. Like, what do you mean primarily California grapes? Like, they got to 600 grapes for the bottle and they're like, no, no, no. We're going to bring in some grapes from Nevada. Yeah. Like, what is that?
Yeah, probably.
What is that?
They probably outsource from somewhere else.
And
to
what is
make
French?
Up.
What is the difference between French oak and American oak? Like, it's one's a little bit more bitchy. Like, I don't understand. You're like, no, 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 bring me the French oak. Like, it doesn't. Yeah, it's just wood.
I don't know.
I can't, like, make fun of, like, the French without seeing Pepe Le Pew. Ever.
Oh, I see. Do you remember Pierre Escargot from the show All That?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember Beer in the a Simpsons bathtub? Episode?
The Simpsons episode where Lisa's like in the wrong Springfield and she like runs into the class and she goes, oh my God, this is a Spanish class and they're all French and they all start laughing and then the teacher's like, oh no, no, classe en français. And they're like, ho, 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 ho.
I took French in high school. And when I got to French 3 or French 4 or something, that you weren't allowed to speak English in class anymore. And I always had to, like, ask things or do things that we hadn't learned. So if it was like, oh, I had to leave class early because I'm on the dance team and we have a rally I have to dance at, I would just ask to go to the bathroom.
That's very lazy of you.
Come on, Tintin. I have to go to a rally. I just be like,
rah-rah.
Almost said he say rally.
Come on, you talk rally.
And is French 4 where you stick your tongue somewhere else?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what?
All right. What? I think
that's
we're on.
That's the best way to start off this episode.
Stacy, what wine are you drinking?
I'm going to ask Stacy a question. Did you pick a Pinot Noir because you thought it was kind of sexy?
No.
Oh, because I was like, I'm going to pick a Pinot Noir because I feel like it's dark.
I feel like Stacy themes everything. Yeah. She's like, did you pick a Pinot Noir because it's sexy?
No, I did it because I was at Costco and I just bought that wine. It was nothing.
Yeah, me too. Same.
Well, Noir rhymes with boudoir.
Oh.
See, that's what I was thinking. See, that French came in really handy.
Still can't get to the rally.
Jackie's reviewed this already, but I got the Ménage à Trois Luscious Pinot Noir. And you've probably read this already, but I'm going to do it again because it's hilarious. First of all, it doesn't even have, it calls it its wine confession.
Oh.
It's not a description. It's a confession. What does temptation look like? Infatuation feel like? seduction taste like? Okay. You'll find out when you let us expose you to our darker side. The darker side of noir. Pinot Noir, that is.
We should let Stacey do our audiobooks.
Right?
I feel like I should, like, we invite you.
Oh, shit.
To get racy with our raspberries, scandalous with our dark chocolate, and carried away with our vanilla and kisses of mocha. Do you want a passionate encounter you'll want to experience again and again?
What's happening?
Take pleasure in luscious Pinot Noir.
This sounds like a late night, like one of those commercials late at night to call this 900 number.
Okay, did you guys watch The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt? Because when I say Pinot Noir, I only think of, like, an ode to black penises.
Pinot Noir!
Erin, what are you drinking?
Caviar. Me? So, if anyone has listened and they heard me drinking Banyan Reserve vodka from St. Pete, I am doing it again because why the fuck not?
And she did not learn her lesson. With
right? No, I mean, I never learned my lesson. I'm an idiot. So, also, Stacey did it because her Pinot Noir, because it sounded sexy. This just is cheap and easy, which is totally neat. So, and I think I just do. I'll read the back. It's kind of hard to. Jeez, I feel like I'm.
Things
we
say
things
now.
Things we say now.
Can someone hold this bottle out for me? The banyan tree arrived in Florida when Harvey Firestone gave his friend Thomas Edison one as a gift. These gorgeous, sprawling trees hold a special place in the heart of our hometown and inspired our Banyan Reserve vodka. Made from 100% American corn, no non-American corn here, it has a robust, full flavor that includes a fresh, crisp corn sweetness and a long finish that drinks well neat on the rocks or in a great cocktail. Now, I have had it neat. It is very smooth.
But it makes you messy, so.
Yeah, so it's mess. So it's a lot of mess over here. So I'm hoping that, I mean, it's empty. This is the end of it, ladies and gents. So,
This is
it. And then after that, I'm moving on to Henry's hard sparkling water.
This is why you wake up hungover.
Yeah.
I thought you were mixing the two. I thought the hard sparkling was your mixer.
No, I just mixed it with Waterloo sparkling watermelon water. But this is water. This is pure American goodness water.
Straight. Listen, you gotta stick. Erin, you gotta stick with the girl you came with. That's why you're hungover in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but this is like, it's hard. This is nothing. This is like nothing.
All right, Jean, what are you drinking?
Even though last word, this is nothing.
We'll check back in with Erin tomorrow at 8 a.m. and see how great she feels.
Yeah.
I cannot wait.
Nothing.
We should upload the Marco Polos one day of the morning after. Yeah.
No. Right? There's some where I'm like, I just type stuff out because I'm like, you guys don't want to see how I look right now. I'm not even going to make a video.
Why you type things.
That's exactly why I type things.
I will never forget after that night, and I was like, oh my god, I'm so hungover, you guys. And like, it was literally Marco Polo laugh, Marco Polo laugh, Marco Polo laugh. I was like,
you're barking up the wrong tree for sympathy, kid.
I know, right? I got nothing. I got a lot of laughter. You know what? That's the comedian in me. It was called perfect comedic timing. That's what that
was. Was that what it was called? Okay. Maybe we'll make it out of this.
Yes. All right. I have, I am drinking a rosé. I wanted to see what all the hype was about. And I do like it. I feel like I'm not going to get as drunk on it. I don't know why, but I feel that way.
Well,
that's the trick.
We'll see. We'll see. I'll let you know in the morning. This is imported from Italy. It's Cavit limited edition rosé. I like this because I think Italians make better lovers than the French.
Ooh.
I speak from experience on that. I think that Italians make better lovers.
Shots fired.
All this says is that it is excellence in Italian craftsmanship. I know of Italian craftswomanship.
Oh, damn!
Okay. that's all I'm going to say right now. I don't kiss it.
Oh. I was just going to say that I feel like fine Italian craftsmanship was like Gene Copeland's tagline. Hey, yo.
Craftswomanship.
Yes, I like it.
So,
if I have enough of this, I might want to give someone a daily punch down myself. I think that's going to be my new tagline.
That's that fits. Hashtag retalk.
Yeah.
Hashtag Gene summer vacation.
And now you're getting your daily punch down.
Hashtag daily punch down.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, welcome to sex episode number 2 without the listener questions.
Yeah.
So, we're just going to go ahead and start with the straight girls.
Yeah.
Hey. All right. Stacy. Single Stacy.
Yeah.
What is the weirdest thing that a guy has ever tried with you? I should have prepped you for this.
You should have, because now I don't have anything good in my... There it is. I don't have a super good answer for this, because I feel like it's always all pretty weird and awkward, because very infrequently do they have any game.
Yeah.
And I feel like guys are really quick to try to jump over foreplay. Like, I don't know.
They don't
want to
preheat the oven. They don't know why the tater tots aren't done. Yeah.
I don't think they 100% understand all the mechanics involved. So, I would say, like, not weird, but I would say that's probably, like, one of the most common things is just, like, hey, no, I'm not there yet.
Do you know the percentage of straight women that have an orgasm every time they have sex?
Oh, I would say it's very low.
I would say 1%.
It's 23%. Do you know the percentage of gay women that have an orgasm every time?
100%.
89. The only group that is 100% is men. Yeah.
Wow. Okay, I did think of two things just right now, though.
Wait a second. You completely broke up. I didn't hear. Like, I'm on the edge, and I didn't hear.
Oh, the only group that orgasms 100% of the time? Of the people surveyed. I should preface that. It's not men, straight men.
Well, that makes sense.
Was that really a cliffhanger?
What the hell? Like, am I an idiot? Yes. It's called Banyan Reserve. Everyone, pick it up at your local...
Why do you think that is? Why do you think the percentage of straight women that orgasms every time is so low?
Because I think guys don't. I think it's twofold.
We're gonna let the married one weigh in, but we're gonna preface it with she's married to a sweet baby angel, so he's like an outlier. But we're gonna go with the single girl first. Yeah,
that's true. Okay, I would say it's two problems. I think the first problem is men not having a great understanding of how the female body works.
Or where the clit is.
That's like, or the attention that needs to be paid to it. Like, don't avoid that, because I was watching something or reading something not that long ago.
But their penis doesn't go in there, so why would they care?
Right. But they were talking about the number of women that, like, orgasm off of, like, clitoral stimulation versus...
It's higher.
Like, it's way higher. Way higher.
You don't have to tell us.
Like I said in the last episode, don't ignore the clit. It's really important. So I think part of it's that. I think the other part of it is just women not communicating what they like, what they want, what they need, for whatever reason. Whether it's like I will give directions. I am not.
That surprises exactly
no
zero
one.
People.
Yeah. So, there was no cliffhanger there.
But I feel like every movie, every TV show, everything from the 50s is all like women not ever having orgasms or like. Or older women talking about never having orgasms, and I just don't think it's like talk about it, communicate. And if you're not ready to communicate it, you're not ready to have sex.
It wasn't until the 1980s that the movies even portrayed a woman enjoying sex. Like, women weren't even supposed to enjoy it. It was supposed to be strictly for reproductive purposes and to please their husbands. It wasn't even like in the media acceptable until the 1980s that women could just like to have sex.
Right. And it's not even except. What was that? Sorry, Jean.
They were supposed to be virgins when they got married, and they were supposed to, quote, learn about sex from their experienced husbands.
With their small lady
brains. Husbands don't know shit.
Well, there you go. That's probably the mystery there.
Well, and I think, too, that that whole process of, like growing up and growing through puberty and exploring your body and masturbation and all that kind of stuff, totally okay for guys, totally routine, totally natural, but women aren't taught that that is an okay thing to do. And then once that sort of comes into relationships and experiences with partners and things like that, I think guys are super prone to be like, you know, like a couple of minutes and they're done and not understanding. Like, I just don't think they're as in tune with the other person's needs. And the fact that, you know, we've had this conversation too about how men physically will have a response. Like, they'll just like, you're going to get a boner, you get a boner, like it is what it is. And women, you got to warm them up a little bit. Like you said, you got to preheat the oven before we put the tater tots in.
I don't know why I chose tater tots. I just really like tater tots.
That's the best analogy I think I've ever heard.
Yeah, because if you don't, it could be 20 minutes on, and they're still going to be not cooked on the inside.
Right,
so.
And I think there are grown men out there that still don't even understand that it's not about, like, getting in the mood. Like, physically, you need to give the woman the, like, time to get wet, or else, like, physically things are going to be real difficult and uncomfortable. Just saying.
Jean, did you want to add something about straight sex?
No, I have nothing.
All right.
Except just that part about that for decades, women were taught, like you said, that it's really not about you. It's about your husband and it's about making babies. Mm-hmm. And you can't have sex with anybody but your husband. And how are you supposed to learn about what you like and what you don't like if you don't have a couple of different partners.
Yeah.
Stace, married perspective?
I feel like if you surveyed like 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds, 40-year-olds, 50-year-olds, like that your answer is going to change. I think a lot of 20, 30-year-olds, whatever it is, probably fake orgasms to get it over with. You know, when you have that like the one night stand that sucks, or you have the, you know, you just want to get it over with, trying to please your significant other, whatever it is, they're going to fake orgasms. Whereas like women in their 30s, 40s, whatever it is, that maybe they've been married for a while or they've been with enough people, they're going to be like, no, 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 this is how you do this. And those guys are older too. And so they maybe hopefully have learned something along the way too, where they're going to, you know, hit the right buttons and realize that it's not all about you. And it's not just, women don't orgasm just from you putting it in. You know, there's a lot.
Women aren't that impressed with your penis.
Or they would be so sensitive if you try to give direction.
Right. I think if you surveyed women by age group, I feel like your answers would be different. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like it would go away. Like, 30s and 40s, I think women would be like, no, I don't fake it anymore. I don't try to play around. Like, fuck that.
The other difference in that is women actually hit their sexual peak in their 30s. So they're much more inclined to not only want it more, but that's an age where you become more like, no, you're like, I'm not trying to catch you anymore. Like, you're going to do this my way or we're not going to do it. I don't care.
Right.
Exactly.
I have some good news for you ladies.
Uh-oh.
It gets even better in your 40s.
Look at Jean.
What?
Thank you. After scaring us with the menopause stuff, she comes in for a win. Yeah, look at that.
She's like, also before menopause, sex is going to be amazing.
It's going to be the highlight before you go off the cliff.
That part wasn't necessary.
Summer Louise moment before you die.
Yeah, I did think of my two weird things.
Okay.
Okay, and they're both not, like, kinky weird. They're just, like, what is wrong with human beings?
Well, then we don't want to hear it.
Oh, no, but they're kind of funny, because one was when I was in high school. One of my friends tried to kiss me, and then he got nervous, so instead, he just, like, we were laying on the couch, and then he just, like, got on top of me, and I thought he was going to kiss me, and I was, like, had a crush on him for a long time, and I was, like, oh, here we go, here we go, and he got nervous, And so instead, he just dribbled spit onto my forehead.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, what? Right. Same. And I was like, what? What just happened? So that was one. And then I would just say, like, guys weirdly thinking it's attractive to, like, rub their dicks on you. Like, like rub up again. Like, I had
a closed guy, or not closed?
Well, I had somebody who I was kind of talking to do it to me in a hot tub. And I think he was trying to, like, this is how I'm going to make the first move. I'm like, you just rubbed your dick on the back of my knee. And I feel like that's not going to do anything.
That's
so
not an erogenous zone.
That's where you're wanting to put it. I don't think we're both going to have fun.
Did he want you to like clamp your knee around it?
I watched that episode of Friends, and I'm pretty sure I know where Monica wrote all the numbers, and the back of my knee was not 7. Put it that way.
I had a guy, I really liked this hot guy in high school, like, really liked him for, like, 2 years, but, like, he wouldn't give me the time of day, like, he was, like, just on a different scale than I was in high school, and we hooked up after high school, and he poured baby oil everywhere, like, that was his, like, go-to, I think that was his go-to lube, or maybe just, like, something around. It was awful. Like, it doesn't lube right. It's not like something that is, you know what I mean? Like, oil, it's not
based, even oil-based lubes are not good.
Right. It was terrible and sticky and weird, and it was awful. And I never called him after that. I was like, ghosted, because that was the most awful experience I've ever had.
That's Aaron, funny. Jean, what are the most awkward moments with women for you?
I had one time I went out with a woman, and before we actually like went out on the date.
How old were you? I need context.
I don't know, it was probably within the last 10 years.
Oh, okay.
And it was just kind of a surprise kiss that it was just a tongue down my throat. It was a surprise, and it was just a little awkward, just because, you know, I mean, even like with a kiss, you should still preheat the oven.
Yeah. You don't just go in.
Yeah. Right. I mean, you know, like even when a plane lands, you gotta drop.
Yeah, there's a descent.
You gotta, yeah, and you gotta put the landing gear down there. There's like a whole.
There's checks. There's a checklist. they ask if you want your trash taken away. Someone comes and offers one more beverage. There's a whole thing. You get a bathroom break.
You put your chair in the upright position.
Electronics are to be shut off. Yeah.
This was a first kiss. This was a first kiss.
And she came in hot with the tongue, like, from the get.
She came in...
Weird.
Like, you don't start there.
I figure... Yeah. I picture that not being a girl thing. I picture, like, a dumb guy that's a girl. Like, who does that? Ew.
That's why I was so caught off guard. Yeah. Because, you know, when I was a teenager, that was a guy move.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Or they just spittle onto your forehead.
only if you're a lucky lady that, like you.
Is that like a golden sponge bath?
Ooh.
I don't know.
Oh. Okay. What about you, Aaron?
Not the actual shower.
So I would say my weirdest sexual encounter. So I was, I think it was like 24 or 25, and I was working at Bath and Body Works.
Ooh.
And I
Bath and Body Works.
And I had, so I don't know what it is with me, but like straight women love me. I don't know what it is. I don't get it. It's not, I think it's because like, I'm not like a typical lesbian in the sense that like, I'm so very girly. And like straight women think that, like, I know there's all types of lesbians, 'cause I am one, you know, but straight women are like, oh, blah, blah, blah. So there was, this woman, I won't say her name, we'll call her Veronica.
Oh.
I don't know why. Vagina.
That's very fancy. She already sounds fancy. Yeah.
We're calling her Vagina.
Vagina
May. Vagina
May.
Vagina.
Vagina May. She was married.
You just
and
picked
kids.
The title of the episode. We're calling her Vagina.
So we were like, we were talking, we're flirting, da da da, whatever. And so one day it escalated, but it escalated in the offsite area. So like at the mall that I worked at, this Bath and Body Works at, like our offsite for Bath and Body Works was literally like in the bowels of the mall.
Gross.
So I was in the offsite area and I was like doing like counting, like getting extra, like it was during the busiest time of the year. So like in between like Thanksgiving and Christmas, like, you know, we're selling tons of gift sets and soaps and fucking all the lotions that you can think of. Jupiter Breeze, which I know it's really Juniper Breeze, but like some of the ladies call it Jupiter Breeze. But yeah, so it was like tons of shit. So I'm back there like getting stuff, you know, getting gift bags, da da da. All of a sudden the door opens and I'm like, hey, and then it's like Vagina May coming in. We had sex in the offsite at Bath and Body Works, and it was so awkward because anyone could walk in at any moment. One, two, it was not hot because she had no idea what she was fucking doing. And two, it was just so like, I mean, when you have, like when you put your, when someone puts your hand down your pants, puts their hand down your pants and they don't loosen the pants or anything, it's not easy to claw your way in, you know. You have to like really like dislocate your wrist to like get
like
your finger,
like you're grabbing a pickle.
Yeah, it's literally it's a pickle grab, but it's also a pickle grab like this. It's like if the jar was hanging upside down.
I wish our listeners could see you because this is so interesting.
It's like a really dirty puppet show is what it is.
Yeah.
Or that pornographic machine with the mechanical claw in it.
Exactly. Like, but it's like,
you got to try it.
It's like working against gravity. So it's like, yeah. And then there's panties and it's just, it was awful. It was literally the worst sex I've ever had.
Is it?
Is it? No.
It's the worst sex you've ever had at work.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean,
Top five.
You know, unfortunately, in the last, what, 10 years? No, I would say 15 years, I've probably had worse sex. But it was fun, but it was awkward as fuck. And I was, like, so nervous that I was going to get caught. Because, I mean, come on, we're at work. Like, come on. But it was scandalous. Hey.
Mine was with a guy when I still was pretending to be straight, and he made out with my shoulder. Like, it was very weird, like a lot of licking my shoulder and like biting on it and stuff, and I was like, I don't know what's happening with this, but I don't, you should stop, because it felt gross. I was like, my shoulder's gonna smell like your mouth.
Ew.
Yeah, and at first I thought maybe, like, I knew I liked girls at the time, but I was still trying to like be gay, so I was like, maybe this is a thing that straight girls like, and I'm just like, that's not, you know, right. And then, no, it turns out it's just fucking gross. Don't slobber all over my shoulder. Yeah.
Don't slobber, I'm like, all over anybody anywhere.
What guy that was now. I'm like, tell me later who it was. Give me initials.
I'll tell you later.
Awkward. That's like a guy that doesn't know how to make out with your face.
And we were like 24, so it wasn't like we were 16.
Yeah. Was his name Vagina May?
Now I'm even more curious about who it was.
I was only with one guy at 24. That's the other thing, too. It's not like we just met. We had been together for a while. So I was like, what indications have I ever given that this is what I wanted from you?
I don't know. Maybe because nothing else is working. He was like, maybe I'll just fucking try her shoulder. Maybe she's into shoulder play. Because I've been trying everything else and nothing else is fucking working.
Yeah, shoulder, back of the knee.
I mean, let's give the guy a little credit. He had gumption.
I feel like it's from the movies that, like, that guys see, like, you know, they start at, like, your wrist and they, like, nibble their way up your arm, and the girl's just like, oh my god. And they have no idea.
From the Adams
right.
family that does that.
Yeah. I feel like there's like all these things that they see in movies, you know, and like the guy like bites the girl's earlobe and all of a sudden she's like on the floor in a puddle and like it's not like that.
I
like shoulder.
I don't know. I kind of
for a lot of stuff.
I blame porn. And I'm not blaming like I don't porn's whatever. I don't have anything personally against it. It's I'm not like, "Oh, you're dirty if you watch porn." I don't feel like that at all. I think it sets up men unrealistic expectations for what women are like when you try to get them into bed. I think it does 100%. Them a disservice.
Yeah, it literally has nothing to do with, well, never mind. I was going to say it has nothing to do with a pizza, but it does. I mean, let's be real.
Yeah. Okay, can I ask you guys a question?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so I stumbled upon, we all know how like the YouTube black hole works where it's like you watch a thing and then it recommends another thing, recommends another thing. So I stumbled upon this girl's channel. Her name is Hannah Witten. And she lives in the UK. She has a lot of super interesting videos. She has ulcerative colitis and she has a stoma. So she had her colon removed and now she has a stoma. But she also does all these videos about like sexual health and sex ed and stuff. And so check out her channel because it's super interesting. She did like a roundtable discussion about like how to have sex when you're disabled.
Interesting.
And like super interesting video for like someone in a wheelchair and someone who was deaf and just about like, you know, the nerve of people to just go out and ask, like, can you even have sex like at a bar? Like crazy, crazy stuff. And anyways, it's just she's great. So she had a video where she asked, like what are things you wish you would have known about like sex or your bodies or sexual health or whatever when you were younger? Like what's something that you wish they would have taught you in school or that your parents would have told you? Or
oh my god I have two.
Okay, go.
Okay,
yeah.
Number one, my really good friend and the girl that actually taught me all of the sexual things, because I didn't talk about that stuff with my parents because it was weird.
How many sexual things did she teach you?
Oh, don't know. She was the one that taught me, like, this is a tampon. This is what's going to happen to you. This, because she was, like, 2 years older than me. This girl went on with a yeast infection for a long-ass time because she was under the impression that you can't have a yeast infection until you have sex. So she couldn't tell her mom, I have a yeast infection, because her mom would then know that she had sex. So I love all of the world knew that that's not true, because I've talked to people since then and they still think that. And I'm like, no. You can get yeast infections from wearing a wet swimsuit or, you know, all these different things. That's
antibiotics.
Right. It's not related to sex. So these like 10, 12, 13 year old girls can't come to their moms and say, hey, I'm itchy or whatever down there, like whatever. So that's one big thing. The other one was when I was a preteen, I thought that when a guy got a boner, it stuck straight out like 90 degrees, like from their body. And so I didn't understand how sex worked, because you see in like pictures, like the two people like laying together or the boy laying on top of the girl. And so I was like, how, if a penis goes straight out from your body, not up, but straight out, do they put it in? And I thought it was like rock hard, like stuck like that. So I was like, I don't understand at all. And it wasn't until my first sexual experience that I,
You're like, this bends. Oh, you're just walking around.
It goes up against your body. That's crazy. Oh, this is going to be so much more fun then.
You don't have to bend over a chair, Stacey. Right?
I had no idea how it was going to work. I was real curious.
The only thing I wish I would have been taught early on, and it's like not fun, was that it would have been okay to have sex with girls. That's like the thing that I wish someone would have told me growing up in the mid-90s.
Yeah, I kind of wish someone would have told me that it was okay to masturbate.
Yeah,
because I remember, like, do you guys know the Janet Jackson album? What the frick song was that?
Yes.
You know? Yes.
Yes.
What song is that, right?
Are you talking about If?
Yeah, but what was the song? The one where she's like literally having an orgasm in the song.
Yeah, I can't think of it right now, but I know exactly which. The one where she's holding her hands over her boobs.
Yes.
Yes.
I love that album. Okay, so like I remember listening to that. such a fucking confession right now, okay, you guys? Do no it. Judgment. Like, I remember listening to that and being like, what's happening to my body right now? Like, I was so turned on. Like, I cannot even. And I just remember being like, I gotta do something about this. And I just remember, like, figuring it out mm-hmm. and feeling so fucking dirty afterwards. Like, I just remember.
Oh, that's sad.
I cannot believe that I did that. Let me rewind it. You know what I mean?
Everyone was doing it.
I know, but yeah. Like, I had no idea. And, like, you didn't talk to your friends about right. it. You certainly didn't tell your mom about it. My mom would have fucking flipped. Actually, she may not have. I like, my mom's obviously, she's passed away. If anyone knows, that's whatever. But, like, so, like, I feel like maybe she would have been like, Erin, it's totally fine. Like, I used to masturbate, too. You yeah. know what I mean? I would have been like, oh, cool. Like, probably not, oh, cool, but whatever. Like, I just feel like that part of my life, like, I felt such shame
that
in
sucks.
Touching myself.
That's really sad. Knowing.
That's so sad. Like,
well, and they teach boys that it's totally okay. It's totally
right,
natural.
Right.
Like, whatever. But with girls, it's like, oh.
Jerk off all you want, little guy.
Yeah, I was not
blind if they do that.
Yeah, Erin can't.
Yeah, you get hairy palms or something. I wasn't sure that I had subtly told, like, my daughters enough that it's okay to touch yourself. But mm-hmm. I didn't want to come right out and be like, it's okay to touch yourself. So, like, I wasn't sure if I had said enough. And so it was kind of on my mind. And we're watching that stupid Netflix show. Was it Netflix or Hulu? Pen 15. I don't know if you guys have watched
yeah.
it.
Yes.
But
yes.
it's so, like, bad. And
so
I didn't
hilarious.
Know.
Yeah.
I didn't know that it was going to be so, like, X-rated.
Right?
And so I'm watching yeah. it with my 15-year-old. And we're sitting on the couch. And there's an episode where the little girls, I don't know how old they are, 13, discovers masturbating. And so she's doing it in the episode. And she can't stop. And, like, people
stop.
Are walking
yes.
in. She cannot stop. She's obsessed. It's like, I can't, I'm sick. I can't go to school. I can't do it because she has found out what this is. And I'm watching this with my 15-year-old daughter, and I'm dying. I'm, like, covering my face. I'm looking at my phone. I'm looking out the window. I'm trying to figure out, like, this is real fucking embarrassing.
What am I making for dinner?
And halfway through, she goes, Mom, Jesus, it's okay. It's just masturbation. And I went, oh my God, thank God I told you that, but I'm going to leave the room for the rest of the episode because I can't watch this with you. I said, you're right, it's totally okay, but I can't. But it was so good that, like, I apparently at some point said something to her that she thought that that was okay. So I think that's super sad yeah. that you felt shameful.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. Also, the song's name is Throb. I mean, let's be real.
Oh,
there's
Jane,
no shame
you?
In that game, Erin.
No shame. Make sure you link that tomorrow.
Totally watching that.
That I'm telling you, it's like the last, like, what, 45 seconds, minute of the song. It's good shit.
The album title is just Janet, period.
Right, yeah, just Janet. Boom.
I think Erin's gonna listen to that song after we're done.
Look,
here.
She's already mm-hmm. crossing her arms.
I'm
she's really
just grabbing her boobs already.
I know. Like, to be honest, like, that, first of all, that album is phenomenal.
It is.
Period. And it is such, it's such, like, I don't know, it's such a good, I don't know. It was just, like, an interesting time in my life, too, because, like, at that time in my life, I literally had no idea why I wanted a guy, but I didn't want to do anything with the guy. So I was like, what the fuck is wrong with me? Like, I finally get the guy that I want, but when he holds my hand, I don't fucking want him to.
Oh my God, I did the same thing my
right.
entire teenage years.
Right? So then I'm, like, sitting there, like, on the couch with this guy. He's holding my hand. I'm so happy he's there, but I'm so disgusted that he's holding my hand. Meanwhile, I'm listening to Janet Jackson have a fake orgasm and having my own. You know what I mean? So I'm like, I don't know what's happening to me. I hadn't... To be completely honest, and this is fucking ridiculous, like, so I lived in a very small town in Colorado, and it was, my graduating high school class was 57 people. So, like, the term lesbian was never said to me. I didn't even know that that was something that could happen until, like, my senior year of high school when my best guy friend was like, hey, I think I may be gay. I was like, what is that? What do you mean? Like, you might like guys? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, shit, I might like girls. What the fuck? What's happening? So it's just like, I really truly think that, like, just being told that it's okay to figure yourself out, like, just figure out what you need and want in your life. Like, that would have been
Well, you see, I mean, like, this whole, this, like, millennials are obviously having kids now, and you see it all over social media and stuff, them saying things like, I don't care if my kid's gay or straight, like, I'll love them no matter what.
Yeah.
I don't think they realize how, because they're straight people saying that, I don't think they realize how freeing that would have been had that been what our parents had said. And yeah, some of them may have, whatever, but... I don't think they realize the gift they're giving their kids to be like, it's whatever you are is fine. Like, mm-hmm, they're taking away years of shame and self-hatred. And like that, it's just a really, I don't think people realize what a big gift that is to even their small children.
Mm-hmm. And that self-hatred lasts long after you have come to accept who you are. You could be completely out of the closet, but the remnants, the lingering fragments of self-hatred are still there.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And he's straight or gay. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I'd like to, I mean, I still like have arguments with myself about who I am and what I want to be, you know, when I'm older and yada, yada, yada. And like that part of myself is still, I don't want to bury it, but I find myself burying it sometimes. And I feel like straight people in the same thread are like that, because they absolutely were not told that it's okay to like a certain thing, to be a certain way, to be a geek, to be a jock, to whatever. Like, you know, it's interesting how I think our adolescence, I mean, it really does shape who we are as a human mm-hmm. being. And it's sad and it's exciting all at the same time, because like you said, Jackie, like it's changing now. I think a lot of times like the millennials have like, it's time to start, you know, moving towards this area of life where we're okay with who we fucking are. And we're going to teach our children that same thing. But like our parents were not like that, you know?
And, well, the truth is there's a lot more important things going on in the world than who you're sleeping
with.
Yeah,
right?
There just is.
Like,
well,
one
of the things I thought was super interesting when I watched the video, so she had asked this question on Twitter and then was like reading people's responses. So one of the things that I thought was so interesting was there was an overwhelming amount of answers that just had to do with vaginas. Like, I wish someone would have told me that vaginal discharge is normal. Like, your vagina is a self-cleaning oven.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one of the things that's too, like, you don't need to put anything up there to clean it or make it smell better or do whatever. Like, it's going to take care of that stuff on its own. That's what it's for. It's its own ecosystem. It'll take care of business. There was another one about, like, vaginas come in all shapes and sizes because porn is given a very unrealistic expectation of what vaginas look like. Like, labia come in all kinds of shapes and sizes and colors and whatever. Like, there were just so many things about vaginas that I was like, man, we're really not doing our job, like, educating young girls about their bodies, because
I would venture to say that a lot of young girls don't realize that they pee out of a different hole than mm-hmm. where they're, yes. they menstruate. And I'm not being an asshole. Like,
no,
I think teachers shy away from teaching that. One, because parents throw a fit about what they should teach. Two, the restrictions that, you know, schools place on them or whatever. But I think it's, you're doing kids a disservice to be like, to shy away from talking about organs that they have, like calling them something different, calling it your, you know, your Yahoo or his pee-pee or whatever.
Yeah.
No, everyone has a vagina or a penis. Mm-hmm. Let's just talk about it. It's no different than having a hand or a head or an ear.
Right.
Like, it's unfortunate because most girls don't even understand their own bodies.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that's basically what the comment was. I can tell you one of my number one pet peeves is cutesy pet names for vaginas.
Oh, I think you've said this before, because I was like, what about Tootie?
Like,
you're like, no.
Like infantilism.
It's a vagina or a virgina, all right?
Vagina. That's it.
That's it.
It's a virgina down south.
Virgina May. Or like in the last episode, I joked around about the movie The Color Purple and how it inspired a generation of women to check out their vaginas in a mirror. But like, how many young girls don't even know what it looks like down there? That's like you said, you don't even know what hole things are coming out of. Like, I think it was like 30 Rock or something. It was something with Tina Fey when she was like, I know there is anywhere between one and three holes down there.
Episode 7. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, there's this awesome sex ed video. I don't know if you guys, I think I talked about this one other time, and I never sent you the link to put it on our Facebook, but I'm going to, because it is so awesome. It's this girl, she like videoed her sex ed teacher talking about vaginas, and it is so awesome because she has like a little stuffed vagina, the sex ed teacher. She's literally like pointing out everything, like, this is the hood, this is the clit, like, this is these are the lips, this is everything, like, and this can all look different and this all feels different, and up in here, and she like puts her fingers in it, she's like, this is the G-spot, like, it was so down and dirty, and the girls are like, we have never literally learned this ever in our entire lives. And so refreshing that there are some teachers that are like, you know what, fuck this, I'm gonna teach what I need to teach, because these girls need to learn about themselves and about what is going on in their vagina and their virginas. And I just think it's very important. And I'm going to send this to you right now, so I don't forget.
All right,
this.
I got it.
Well, I feel like we're like a really big generation that, like, I see it all the time on social media that your whole area down there as a woman is called the vagina. So when everybody talked about, I don't remember what, like, celebrity it was that went on stage and she had see-through pants on and everybody was like, you can see her vagina, and I was like, oh my god, she would have to lay down and get all open to see her vagina. So right. I hate that is our generation calling the front of like a lady standing up with her legs closed and you can see if she is naked, you cannot see her vagina, so stop right. calling Yeah. that her vagina, because it drives me up the wall.
Yeah,
that's not just, her vagina.
That's a generic term now for the whole area.
I hate that. I hate that is what it's become.
We don't need straight ladies. We don't need to make it any more vague for straight men.
Amen, sister.
Yep.
I'm with you, straight girls. I'm with you.
Yeah, we all want you to be pleased. I mean, come on.
No, and that's all it works. The penis goes in the vagina. The end.
Right.
Yeah, and the
like in that case, is it just
step.
In the V? Like the V? You just want your penis? No, I need it up in there. I need you to curve
just
it up, and I need
like
you to
this.
Hit that goddamn spot, motherfucker.
Jean was saying.
And tell them that the clit, you have a tongue and you have fingers. That's what the clit is for.
Pay so much attention to those words. There are no straight men listening to this.
No, and there's a lot of lesbians. They already know.
They already know.
But if they started teaching actual anatomy of people's vaginas and penises and everything that makes them up in actual, like if they took the mystery out of it, I feel like a lot more men would understand what actually is taking place down there. Now, just because they understand doesn't mean they're going to do anything about it. But at least they can't claim it. And women have to stop being so ashamed to tell them about it. Like, just because your fifth grade sex ed class didn't cover, like, the labia and the clitoris and all of these things doesn't mean they don't. Some things are true whether you know about them or not. So let's put some effort in. Like, it's crazy to me. The difference between 89% of gay women have orgasms every time they have sex and 23% of straight women have orgasms when they have sex.
That's sad.
It's like,
real
I don't think straight guys have ever, like, some of them, and I shouldn't use such general terms, but I feel like not everyone is informed of the fact that, like, did you know you could use your hands and your penis at the same time?
But that doesn't feel good to them. But here's the other problem, too. Mm-hmm. Culturally, women haven't been allowed to enjoy sex, and men have. So men aren't worried about, and too many women fake their orgasm. Too many women are fake their orgasms.
Yes.
If you told most of the men that you were faking orgasms, they would be heartbroken. They'd want to learn. What man wouldn't want to be better in bed? That's how they measure their stupid manhood. They'd all want to be better. So
but
why are women so afraid
better-
to tell them?
It's better for them. If you have, if you're having sex with a woman and you use your hand to stimulate her, it's going to get wetter. She's going to be able to go deeper. It's going to be more relaxed. She's also going to clinch.
So
there's all of these
and
things.
And she's going to want it more, you dum-dums.
Right? She's going to want it more. She's going to let you go deeper. She's going to open up to you more and say, go deeper, because it feels good for her too. And yeah. I think that's the biggest problem is a lot of guys think that this is all it feels like, this mm-hmm. right here. But if you
between like penetration and stimulating clit, like they don't realize they can do those things at the same time.
Right. And if they do, the sex is going to be better for them too.
I can't look at Aaron.
This is my favorite episode.
Can I please weigh in on this being the feminist that I yes. am?
Absolutely. Now, please tell me.
I'm a gold star.
Me
so.
Too, Jean.
Yes, girl. Something else to celebrate at GCL.
Hey.
Well, listen. Now here's the thing. That I conversations like this make me so happy I'm a lesbian. You have no idea. Because I am such a bitch. I would shatter every straight man's ego. Because I would be like, wait, is that it? And I think that, you know, straight women, they feel pressure because they love the man. They care about the man. They don't want to hurt the man or make him feel emasculated. That they lie and say, oh, yeah, it was good for me too, honey. But no. Just because you are going to be, you know, talk about what you want in bed, doesn't mean that you're a slut. And that's another mm-hmm. thing that we're dealing with from society. Sometimes straight women, and I've talked to them.
You've met a few.
I've met a few.
Right? I have straight friends.
That in our culture.
I have straight friends.
Yeah, some of my best friends are straight, right? It's true. But in our culture, we vilify women who have, straight women who have multiple sex partners.
I hate the term slut.
I know, right? We vilify them if they talk openly about enjoying sex. And so, you know, basically what we're expecting of straight women is that hopefully you're going to get a guy who knows what he's doing. And you won't have to lie. But if that's not the case and he's a nice guy and you love him, then just make believe that you're having the orgasm so he won't feel bad. And
what the fuck is wrong with these women?
I don't know.
No, I agree. And I feel like people think the only option is that or like, nope, you're doing that wrong. Oh, what are you doing? Like, you can give direction and give encouragement right. in a exactly. way that is very sexy.
Right.
Oh, for right. sure. Yes, absolutely. Like, I feel like there's a big difference between like, no, not like that. And
what are you
no,
doing?
Like, right. right. Exactly.
No difference.
Like no, I like to give, like, it's the positive sandwich. You just give them, like, what if you did this instead? Like, just give direction towards where you'd like things to go without yeah. criticizing what's being done. Unless they, I don't know, rub the dick in the back of your neck. Okay.
No, absolutely. No, listen to this, though. So, like, I know of a few lesbians that have faked orgasms with their lesbian partners or bisexual partners. And I think to myself, why?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Why?
Never.
Why?
Never.
Like, in
why
my
is
mind.
Anybody faking orgasms?
I agree.
In right.
this case, like, why would anyone fake an
no,
orgasm?
No, because guess what? Here? Buckle up if it's not happening, because I'm not a quitter.
Right? Right? Let me tell you.
I don't want to ride that train
I'm
tell
you,
gone.
That shit ain't working. Fuck you. You already have a big ass ego. I know right? you do. So right. I'm going to knock it down a peg and say, you suck in bed.
Okay.
Let's fix it.
Here's
no, we're gonna try something new.
I'm gonna interrupt this to say one because we've talked for a long time. Then if all of that is true, why does lesbian bed death happen?
You tell me.
Oh yes. I am a veteran of lesbian bed death myself.
Let's hear it, Jean.
From my experience, it came from resentment. Just long.
Because girls are mean.
Yep.
We hold on to a grudge.
And you know what? There's a myth that because you're lesbians, you have to talk everything to death. That's like a joke. And it's a myth. I was in a long-term relationship, and we did not communicate. And what happens is that you're together for a long time, and the resentments grow. I had coming out issues with the partner that I'm talking about. And when we got together, we were both in the closet. And as I started to come out, she continued to stay in. And you know, that's a kind of an esoteric problem between among gay people, but it's just that if you stop communicating, if you stop appreciating each other, that's going to be the first thing that suffers. That's going to be your first sign that something is wrong. And that could be in any relationship, gay or straight, men or women. If you do not feel appreciated, if you do not feel like the person is giving all they should, your sexual desire is going to be the first thing to go. What I will say is there's no penis in a lesbian relationship. And sometimes the penis is an entity unto its own.
My mom sitting here listening to our sex episode, which is weird, but she's
not at all,
except not because, yeah, I don't care about talking about it in front of her, but
awesome.
She's always said sex doesn't make or break a relationship, but when it falters, it's the first sign something's wrong. So
exactly.
Yeah. And I completely agree with you. The big difference is, and we've talked about this when we haven't been on the air, I think lesbian bed death happens because women have to be in the mental mindset to have sex. And I'm not saying all, I'm making gross generalizations. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying once you're several years in, you both have to be like, oh, we had a nice day. I'm feeling close to you. Like all these things have to line up. Whereas
the
stars have to align, because in most cases, again, not all, like one person is, you're both typically a little bit more shy about initiating it because you're like, oh, they said they didn't feel good earlier. They're a little bit tired. We're more emotional. So we're much more in tune to the, oh, they probably aren't going to feel like this because we both had a long day, whatever. Whereas a dude will just stick you in the back with his dick and be like, are we going to do this
knock,
or what?
Knock, knock,
and you're like,
knock,
no, I don't want to. So not that the stars have to line up, but you both have to be in like a good place. And like, both of you are feeling like refreshed and like all these things have to happen.
Not necessarily physical thing that is happening.
Someone's not on their period. Someone didn't eat too much at dinner. Like all these
someone
different things have to happen. all of the reasons as a woman you think, I don't really feel like I want to have sex. Multiply that by two. The only difference is you don't have a guy breathing on your back being like, come on. Yes. Now, normally
I have a boner.
Well, normally if one girl will initiate it, my experience has been the other one, they're not going to push you away. It's almost like you wait for the other one to initiate it because neither one of you wants to be.
Which is so funny because I feel like in straight relationships, like if the girl's not in a mood, they're just like, oh, no.
But
like,
that's because
men
will ask over
like,
and
everybody
over
has
and
boners.
Over. Men are pushing for sex consistently because they're hoping, if I ask 10 times, I'm going to get it once.
Yes.
You know, they're not ashamed to ask for it. They're not ashamed to push for it. They're not ashamed to say that they want it. Mm-hmm. Women aren't socially wired that way. Mm-hmm. So because lesbians suffer from the same social implications that all other women do, we have much easier like pushaways than we should. Like you could both be in bed and be like, we could have sex. But because neither of you wants to be necessarily the like one who'd be like,
aggressor.
So like, what, you know, we're in bed kind of early. Like, men aren't ashamed to just ask for what they want. Where women
like,
have been
needs
taught
to be taken care of.
Women have
exactly.
been taught to be ashamed of it. So they don't typically ask. Now, again, I know there's plenty of lesbians out there.
Talking.
I know there's plenty of lesbians out there
the talking.
That are unashamed to ask for it. They have no issues with it, and they'll push it, and they'll get it, and whatever. But I have found...
Julie.
Yeah. But, like, I have found with my wife, any time that I have initiated, she's never rejected me. So I don't even know why I hesitate in doing it. But it's that social implication of...
Absolutely.
I don't want to pressure her because I know she's had such and such and such and such happen to her. It's a much more emotional connection than I think men care about.
Do you think she's saying yes because she knows that you want it and she doesn't want to disappoint you?
Maybe, but I don't really push. I don't like... It's
you don't push your boner under her.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't.
A lot of wives think that if you're like if it's initiated, you shouldn't ever say no.
Oh, no, yeah. I don't think that because, like, you know, my wife likes her back rub. She likes certain things that indicate mm-hmm. that I would like to have sex. But there have right. been times where I've done those things and she's fallen asleep. So I'm like, okay, yeah, like, it's over.
Tonight's
not the night. But I don't freak out about it. It's just like, okay, she really is tired and that's fine. Like,
but doesn't it make it easier for straight girls to initiate sex? Like, not easier, but straight girls, when they initiate sex with a guy, there is a very visible physical response
yes.
that lets right. you know that, like, yeah. green light, go.
Yeah.
Yes.
So here's my thing. So, like, I have to say something because, like, I have definitely had issues in the past with a significant other. I'm not going to say it's this one because it's not, but.
Gail, it's not you. Don't worry.
It's not Gail. And it's just that whole thing where, like, you guys get into a rhythm where
For sure.
it is definitely not. Like, you don't want to push the aspect, but you just want to, like, say, like, I need you. Like, I really definitely need you. Like, I have in the past been denied, and it is the hardest thing I've ever had to deal with in my life. Like, not with my current partner. And it is the hardest thing I've ever had to survive in my whole life. And I'm just like, why would you do this to someone? Like, it's just hard. But my thing is this. This is what I think happens with lesbian bed death, is that you guys get so comfortable in your everyday lives. You come home, you go to bed, you literally, like, lean over, you kiss each other goodnight, you get on your phones, you scroll through Facebook, you put it down, you go to bed. And it's hard to keep that spark alive. And one of the things that I've noticed is that because we're so busy, we like to put it, I know it's not spontaneous, but it's like, put it on the calendar. Like, we're going to do it. We're going to fucking do it. So if we don't, it's like, why are we not? And then it's like, okay, this is why we're not, you know, like, but I will be honest. There are moments as a lesbian that I wish I were straight because periods, like, they never affect men. Never. They'll put it in anything. They'll put it in a dirty fucking shit.
They don't care. Yeah.
But fuck, they'll put it in your ass. Like, yes. That is how they don't care. Like, in my mind, I'm like, okay, like, I would put it in there, but my partner does not want that. Like, so, like, there's this whole, like, thing that happens.
It's much more emotional.
Yeah, and it's
if you have your period, you just don't feel like it.
Mm-hmm. Like, don't touch it. Okay.
And you know what it feels like, so you don't want to press it.
Orgasm.
You know, this is where I feel like periods are confusing and a double-edged sword, because I get, like, I don't know. I feel like I get trapped in this situation where I'm like, okay, I'm bloated at the beginning and super PMS-y. But then once I, like, get going, like, full on my period, my hormones are sort of racing. Then I'm, like, way hornier than I am, like, if I'm not on my period. But then it's, like, I'm not trying, like, I feel fat. I feel gross. I get the period poops sometimes. I don't want, like, anyone to even go near anything.
I
but
just
at the same time.
Friday night.
Yeah, but then at the same
Those
time.
Those are beer poops, Jean.
But then at the same time, you're like, I also don't want to have sex with anybody, but you have all these extra hormones, and you're like, but I fucking would tear somebody up right now. Like, it's the worst, like, combo of situations. And then you get right in that zone where, like, right when you finish, where you're not bloated anymore, mm-hmm. you feel like Miss America because you've lost, like, 4 pounds of water weight. You're like, I will have all the dicks now. Like, and then a day later, I'm like, oh, nah. What a joke Mother Nature is, right?
Well, you know what? You know
Mother
what
Nature, I love her, but I hate her.
You know what? You know what's lucky about straight sex is, like, with the boner, the guy doesn't have to verbalize anything.
Mm, yes.
The boner is there. You know what he wants. And mm-hmm. then you decide if you're in the mood for it or not.
Right. It's like a good conversation starter. Yes. You're like, oh, yeah, no, I would go for that.
But it's like,
okay, you want wings tonight? No, I don't want wings. Okay, cool. Well, I do.
But I totally get, listen, Jackie hit the nail on the head with that. it's hard to verbalize it sometimes because we're so emotionally oriented. I know what kind of day you had. I feel bad that your day was shitty. And sometimes after a shitty day, a good fuck is exactly what you need. Mm-hmm. But if you have a lesbian partner that's just so super sensitive, she might pull back. Mm-hmm. But then you're not going to do it because you feel like fucking murdering somebody. So it's a really complicated dynamic with lesbians, because even like I know personally, I would love if my partner is aggressive. I absolutely love that. And sometimes I may not feel like I am in the mood, but if my partner comes on and like kisses me in the right spot on my neck, suddenly I become in the mood. Mm-hmm. So game on.
You have Kai's full attention.
I think it's like a big,
hey, yo.
Go ahead,
big thing that I'm hearing from you guys, and that I also like kind of like agree with and like vibe with, is that the boner in the back anytime during the night, morning, whatever thing, is it's kind of a you are desirable. Yes. I still want you. Yeah, I want to have sex with you.
It's just nature, though.
I mean, like, really? Like, they want me with my face cream.
Hold on. Let Stacey finish.
But I feel like lesbian couples, maybe if you don't have that, boner that's every once in a while, at least a couple times a week hitting you up.
Yep.
Maybe you don't feel desirable, and you don't feel like you don't feel like you've had that connection, and you don't feel like the stars have aligned because you don't have that lighting up. Yes, my husband is over my shoulder looking like, what are you talking about?
Get it, girl.
Get it.
It's that conversation starter, though, because it doesn't even, like, a boner in the morning does not mean I find you desirable all the time. It means I woke up with a boner, but it gets the idea out there without anyone having to say anything, and then you put the ball in your court to be like, no, or like, ma'am, okay.
It opens up kind of communication to say somebody that's been together for 16 years, I can tell you a boner in the morning and you saying no thanks and him going, what the fuck, why not, also opens up the conversation for, hey, yesterday when we had that argument, that really hurt my feelings, blah, blah, blah. Whereas I feel like a lesbian couple that doesn't have that obvious thing coming together in the morning are going to cover those feelings up. Yeah. So I feel like it's kind of like somebody saying, I want to have sex with you without having to say the words out loud or have to do anything about it. It's just the boner at your back. Like, I feel like it opens up a lot of conversations. It shows you a lot of, I hate to say appreciation, but it does. It tells you that your spouse, after 16 years, it's not just, hey, I woke up horny. We have these conversations. Kai knows that we're not going to have sex if the stars aren't aligned. If we've been kind of arguing and kind of weird, I might have gotten off my period, I'm dieting, whatever the fuck is going on. The stars aren't aligned. I don't want to have sex. So for like the boner at the back in the morning to come and for me to say no means, oh, do you want to talk about something?
Yeah. So
whereas I disagree with that a little.
That's not initiated by lesbian couples because that's, you know what I mean? It has to actually be like a sit down conversation.
But I think we need to acknowledge the fact that a boner in the morning does not necessarily mean.
When you've been married for 16 years.
But no. I think it opens the conversation, but it also just is a physical, biological response. Like you woke up that way.
Not after you've been married for 16 years.
But also I think what Stace is trying to say is it does after 16 years because he's trying to act on it. He's not just going to the bathroom trying to pee and it go away. If he's trying to act on it after that long, he's indicating that it does mean something to him. It's not just a physical response.
Right. And what I'm saying is you guys don't have that. Like, it's like a third person in the room bringing up the topic where you don't have to, and he doesn't have to. And it's just like, here I am.
There's definitely like, there's benefits to lesbian relationships. One, because you are much more likely to be able to voice your feelings and opinions and thoughts and everything and have someone who understand, like, you can tell your partner if you're with a girl, like, I'm just really PMSing, and they don't roll their eyes. They're like, oh, that's, yeah, no, I get it. It's get fine. It.
Neither does a fucking decent man. Jesus Christ.
But they don't fully understand it. They may be trained to react that way.
No, sometimes they don't. No, Stacey hasn't spent enough time on the mean streets of singlehood.
Stacey was fucking lucky. She fucking hit the jackpot.
Asshole man's, if you say I'm on my period right now, babe, what asshole man rolls his eyes? Jesus Christ.
All of them.
Or they're like, that's okay. Who are you hanging out with? I could say that to my brother and he'd be like, oh, that sucks. Should I get like a cake? Like, even though he's like, he has no idea, he'd still be patient.
Always get a cake. Okay.
Y'all are hanging out with some assholes.
I have to read you guys this thing. Can I read you this thing? Because Stacey knows what I'm...
Let me just say one thing before you start, Stacey. So Jackie and Aaron, what I'm taking away from this is that we have to somehow come up with the female boner.
Lady boner.
We need to somehow symbolize, somehow construct the lady boner.
Lady boner.
Yep. Okay. All right. You're going to be millionaires.
Go ahead.
Okay, so Stacey...
No, I think Jean's on to something here. I'd like to
discuss. 100% is. You're going to turn into millionaires. It's like those restaurants where when you need something, it's a red light, and when you're good. Bubba Gump says that, right?
Oh,
like a red light and a green light.
I think what it really comes down to is girls have to let go of the social implications of not wanting to say when they want sex. I think it's okay. And this isn't... I'm not hating on my wife. Like, she would be receptive to anything I said. I'm not implying that this is my own shit. Like, and I think as women, we all have our own shit that we've experienced because of the world we grew up in and stuff. She, like I said, she's never been like, fuck you, get away from me ever. But you still have that like moment of, oh, I'm not going to push it because you don't want
to
be that guy.
To conclusions though, because like Jean said, sometimes after a hard day, a good fuck
for
is
sure.
Like the only
it's
thing.
Like
yeah.
I said, it's my own shit. But I think as women, we all experience our own shit that holds us up in all kinds of different areas. So yeah, I think the lady boner version is to just girls be more to say what you want.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. I feel like it's really important for women to, I mean, especially in this day and age, we are trying so hard to further ourselves as women, is to fucking say what you fucking want. Like, stop hiding behind, like, I don't want to hurt your feelings. I don't, you know what? Fuck other people's feelings at this point. Like, stand up for yourself and just be who you need to be, because at this point in time, we are too fragile as a, as a society, we're too fucking fragile to stand behind, like, I didn't want to tell you that it didn't feel good. Like, no, fuck you.
Faking orgasms.
Yes, stop faking
orgasms.
Stop faking orgasms. Start telling your partner what feels good. Because at the end of the day, your partner shouldn't take offense. They should be thrilled. They should be thrilled that you gave them the map to the goddamn treasure. Fucking
right.
Take
yes.
it.
Yes.
The romancing the stone. Pick out the fucking jewel of the Nile.
Yeah.
Goddamn fucking get it. It's the mother's milk. Drink it and fucking be happy with yourself. Because at the end of the day, if you do not give your partner the fucking orgasm she wants, you are not doing it right. I want to see screaming. I want to see fucking sheets.
No, we don't actually want to see that. Please don't send videos. We don't.
Oh, I don't want to see it. I want to like imagine that it's happening for you. Like,
okay,
you're ready.
This, like, vibrator review that Stacey has to talk about is really important. We need to go.
Hold on. Jean wants to say one thing. Jean wants to say one thing.
I just want to say, Aaron, it sounds like you have made your first step into releasing some of all the fucks you're holding in.
There you go.
I feel
release your fucks.
They grow up
so fast.
Loser, Jean. Jean, I won't have to have you rub them as hard as
you. There you go. All right. Stacey, go.
Okay. So there is a review for a vibrator that has been making its rounds on the intranets. on the interwebs. I have seen it a million times, and it is the funniest. I think funny Amazon reviews are one of the best joys of 2019. So It is for the Tracy's Dog Clitoral Sucking Vibrator G-Spot Clit Dildo Vibrators Waterproof Rechargeable Clitoris Stimulator with 10 suction and vibration patterns, sex toys for women. Pink.
What?
Okay. So I'm going to show you guys a picture. This is what it looks like. It has 4.5 stars and 751 reviews. This review has been making the rounds on every form of social media. Okay. The title is Wow, ... just wow. Having read everyone's reviews, I had high expectations, but the price tag being under $50, I wasn't exactly going to be shocked if it was mediocre. A few friends of mine bought it recently and told me of its power. I was warned to take the day off, hydrate, and above all, do some stretches. I thought they were being such drama queens. It was delivered within 2 days of ordering, so it's already off to a good start. Opening the very discreet box, the instructions say 2.5 hour charge time. Not too bad. I plug this little bad boy in. While killing time reading some erotica, my friend and fellow queenie recommended because I don't have time to screw around waiting to get into the mood. I have to get the kids in a few hours, and I need to be ready to go when this thing is done charging. TikTok, bitch, TikTok. Welcome to motherhood. Patiently waiting is me checking to see if the light has stopped blinking every 10 minutes like a crackhead waiting for its dealer. After only an hour and a half, solid pink light. Game on. I played with the setting on my hand to test its fine machinery out. The vibration for the G-spot is quite strong, and I was impressed with that even before use. Next was suction. So many different levels. It was interesting to see the different patterns and strength. There are 10 levels for clitoral and 10 patterns for G-spot. I've never used a clit suction type stimulator, so I have nothing to compare it to, but look forward to it nonetheless. Time to solo party. I found the placement for the clit a bit low for my body shape, and it took me a few minutes to get everything where it needed to be. That was a bit time consuming and slightly frustrating, but as with any new toy, it's trial and error. I started the clit one on low, which I barely even felt. Unbeknownst to me, it wasn't lined up 100%, so me being me, I decided to go from 0 to 60 in 3.5 seconds. I hit the suction button setting level to 5 or 6 and hit the G-spot button as well, and made a minor adjustment to the suction placement. At least that's what I thought happened, because I'm pretty sure I blacked out. And it went straight out like one of those goats who faint when they're scared. I never came so fast and so hard in my life. I squirted. I have never done that. Luckily, I put down a towel because I hate wet spots. I frantically tried to turn it off, but ended up hitting the buttons like a maniac, sending even stronger suction and more vibrant pulses from the G-spot vibrator. And then came, again, I'm pretty sure I levitated. It was an unending orgasm. This time, my soul left me and God himself said, child, it's not your time. Go back to the little pink light. Mind you, I'm agnostic. I'm brought back into my earthly body after managing to pull it off me, throwing it across my bed. It falls on the floor, still buzzing happily away. I shook for a good 5 minutes and couldn't get up off the bed even if I wanted to. I stared at my ceiling, dazed, trying to remember who I am and what year it is. I get up to clean up and realize in my seizure-like orgasms, I hurt my hip and back. I'm still hobbling 4 hours later. I did not stretch enough. So, in conclusion, this met and exceeded my expectations. Hydrate, make sure you don't have anything to do that involves decisions or brain power for the rest of the day. And for the love of God, stretch like you're about to run the 500-meter dash.
So you've ordered two?
Oh, my God. Right,
I'm to our what's Facebook page to order all, this baby? Thing.
But like, child, it is not your time.
Off-site, baby, off-site, all right? I'm devastated.
So God. How is
that girl is not messing around. She is telling people what she likes, what she doesn't like.
I like also, the fainting goat part.
What's everyone obsessed with this week? Goat. We'll start with Jean. What are you obsessed with this week?
Oh fuck.
I'm obsessed with the season 3 of The Handmaid's Tale. I
dad.
Started binging it, and then I forgot that fucking Hulu makes you wait.
Fucking Hulu.
Fucking Hulu.
Also, don't fuck Hulu because I love them, but also hate them.
I hate Hulu. I love and hate them because on the one hand, I would have fucking watched the whole thing in one day, and so I'm kind of glad that now I'm hungering for the next group of episodes.
How do you feel about June and Serena?
Don't be trashy.
How do I what?
Oh, shit.
She's shipping June and Serena, which is very weird.
What does shipping mean?
It means, like, I want them to, like, hook up.
Relationship.
Listen, like shipping. I know they're not.
Yep.
I know they won't.
I have teenagers.
It's like that, like...
Oh, my God. I did that
Serena
all the
held June down to be raped.
She did not like it.
Right, know? But that's, like, the social norm there.
Right.
I think her husband is hot.
You're worse than Aaron. You're worse than Aaron. You're very gross. We're skipping you this week.
You're worse than me.
You know what? You know what's gross? I think Serena Joy's a little hot.
Oh, totally. Did you watch her in Chuck?
I didn't know if we were allowed to find her hot.
Did you watch her in Chuck?
But why are you allowed to find her hot and I can't find him hot?
Because he's a burn.
he's a fucking strike man.
I know he is, but he's attractive.
You know what? You're absolutely right. And fucking, I just want to also say
that. As a feminist, I can't tell you that.
I want to say that fucking Aunt Lydia is the Susan Collins of Congress right now.
Yes.
So, you know what? If you're right. If I think Serena Joy's hot, you get to find fucking Fred hot.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I wouldn't want to date him. I'm just saying, like, looking at him, I'm not. Like, okay.
I hope not. You're not fucking doing shit. You can't read. You can't write.
My lady boner has been activated.
You're gonna get your pinky cut off if you even step out of line, bitch.
He's got a big lazy boner.
Oh. Aaron, what are you obsessed with this week?
So, I hate to say this because this is really lame, but I have not been obsessed with anything outside of my own writing.
That's okay.
Bad to say. Because I have been... So, I am... currently writing my next book, which is my fifth book. I am editing my fifth book, which is a novella due out in December. And I am, doing page proofs for my fourth book. So it's been like, I haven't had time to really do anything outside of that, but I will say that I have read a great deal of June Offred fanfiction.
Oh, come on.
I know. I'm ashamed.
You should be.
I am.
I'm obsessed with, and then we'll get to the Stacey's. I finished Illumination, the final installation of my After Dark series, the first book I ever wrote.
Yay.
I didn't think I was going to. I thought I was going to really go past my deadline, and it was
you cut out. Mm-hmm. You were gone for like a minute.
Mm-hmm. A whole minute? I doubt that.
No, just like
30 seconds.
So the After Dark series, they're the first characters I ever wrote. Tyler and Brooke were the first characters that ever started talking to me, so ending them was like real bittersweet for me. I do think I put a lot of thought, which is one of the reasons it took me so long to actually come up with the ending of it. I put a lot of thought into the things readers have said to me and what they wanted to see happen for them. So I think I ended all of them exactly where everyone will be happy with. Maybe not everyone, but I think they will be. So I'm happy with the way it turned out. It's probably, of all the books I've written, the one I'm probably most proud of to this point. So, yeah.
Was that hard to say goodbye to them?
Awesome.
It is.
You're going to be most proud of your first.
It's hard to say goodbye to them. I don't know if I'll say goodbye to them forever. I may go back to them at some point. They may make appearances in other books. But, yeah, they'll always – I mean, they're your first. They're always special to you. So,
yeah.
It'll be out at the same time that Spellbound comes out. Which
Wait, so you have two books out at the same time?
I have two books that come out on the same day.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
No, you're really making me feel bad about how many books I have coming
out.
You
should. You should feel really bad about that.
You know what? Those, Jackie.
I'll come to your house and steal your diary.
Okay.
You got one out.
No, but don't.
No judgment.
Oh, okay. No. Never mind.
Jackie, though, seriously, like, I think that's so awesome. Like, you know, I, as a writer, like, it's really hard. I don't know if you feel the same way, but, like, when you want so badly to love what you've written and you just don't, but then when you do love it, it's such an, like, a euphoric feeling. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
I really love how this ended. So,
right? Like, you're just like, God, like, maybe.
Well, picking the characters that would, like, round out the series, because Tyler and Brooke mean so much. I mean, I've had a woman tell me that Tyler is her spirit animal. So, it was really difficult for me to pick, because, you know, you have to write a new love interest for every book that we write. I wanted to do the series justice without taking away from Tyler and Brooke. And I think that Emma and Dylan, I mean, all the characters from the first ones make an appearance. Nicole Sable, Kyle King, Patrick Boeing, like, they're all, everybody from the entire series is in it. And I think people will be, if you're not, I just don't tell me. I don't care. Like, just, I'm happy with it. Just fucking let it go.
Yes.
All right.
What she just said.
Stace.
Okay. So, I watched The Handmaid's Tale. I watched season one a long time ago, like when it first came out, and I thought it was super good, but then I needed more, and it was one of those things where you have to, like,
wait.
I have to put it on pause and wait for a whole bunch to binge watch it, because I can't stand only getting a little bit, you know, like, at a little bit at a time. So I was like, okay, I'm going to put it on pause until I have a few seasons. And so I watched the first season, really liked it, and I heard the third season was coming out. And so I just started season one over with my husband to watch it together.
Yeah.
So I already know what it's about, and I know where it's going, and he's watching it for the first time. And so it's really interesting to watch for the first time with somebody, and he's asking questions, and I'm like, I mean, I don't really know where the girl from Gilmore Girls is going. Like, she disappeared for a little while, but I can't tell you. But I do remember that Poussey from Orange is the New Black does come back. She's not really dead. Right. So there's, like, a whole, you know, there, it's really exciting to watch with somebody else. But I did start that over, so that's what we're watching this week. And I'm real excited for it. Boop, boop.
You have 1 minute, Stacey.
Okay. I, you know, Piper had surgery on her little mouth last week. So I stayed home with her on Friday and did some work from home. And I kept watching Younger over again from the beginning.
Oh, my God.
Will you guys please watch that show so I can talk to you about it? So frustrating. Oh, Piper just started.
Wait, which show?
Younger.
Younger.
Oh, fuck.
I know. I need That's you guys me. To watch it, because I need – my boss and I got her to watch it, and now we're on opposing views of who the main character should be with, and I need people on my side, and just so I'm
tell
gonna
us who to vote for.
That.
You have our vote.
Vote for Charles, the older
okay,
one.
Okay, Charles. Yay, started. Charles. There you go.
Woo! That's pretty much it. I don't think I'm obsessed with anything else. I'm putting a parade on in 2 days, so I'm a little stressed out.
All right, everybody, thumbs up or thumb down for your drinks. Clearly, they're all good, because everyone's
don't
just
don't
fucking...
let me too much.
Yeah. Bah, 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 bah.
All right. Mine made me a lady boner.
So, here's this...
My Cabot Rosé I bought in the 4-pack, which is perfect for smuggling into the movie theaters. That's all I want to say.
Oh, Gene.
That's a good
brilliant.
Tip, Gene. So here's
hashtag Gene summer vacation.
Here's what's going on next week, guys. We are going to release a special episode from GCLS where the three of us try to corner people and get them to admit embarrassing things about themselves.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to do. I don't know what day it will be out. It'll be like a little surprise in your feed. Obviously, Aaron, Gene, and I will be drinking. So you'll miss out on the Stacey's, but they will be back with you
Boo.
The week after. Yes.
Oh, we'll miss you, Stacey's. And Kai. We'll miss Kai, too.
We do miss
I
Kai.
I mean, Kai's adorable. I'll always miss him.
Kai, do you have anything to add before we cut off?
Hey-o.
Hey-o.
Don't be a dick.
Hey!
Hey! Maybe that should be the name of it. It's like, don't be a dick.
Hey,
Jackie, he's always said a million times that Kai is going to be one of the first straight white men that's going to survive.
He will be spared when
the feminists take over.
He will be spared when feminists call the earth. Yes.
Only the men who understand the importance of the clit will be allowed to spare.
Kai's one of them. Everybody, have a great 4th of July. Don't do anything we would do.
Yeah.
We'll catch you next week.
If you do, just tell us about it. Hey.
Yeah.
Hey-o.
Hey-o.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.